So the first reading is taken from Samuel 3, verses 1 to 10. The Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
The second part of our reading comes from Acts 10, starting at verse 9. Peter's vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meat was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man, who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests.
So, as we begin this new year, if you're a regular attender of our church, you may or you should be aware, I hope, that we're coming together across the month of January to pray and seek God for his direction. with this in mind, we wanted to offer on a Sunday an encouragement to the church about listening to God. Therefore, over today and the next three Sundays, we're considering the following under the idea of listening to God. So today, we are picking up on God as the great communicator. Then we're going to pick up God communicates through nature. Then God communicates through his word. And then God creates through his spirit. In looking at these specific areas, we hope we all will be equipped to hear God, not only in this month of prayer, but in the months and years that follow. Because we don't just want to hear God for a moment, do we? Well, I don't. I want to hear from God all time. We've just had Christmas, in case you haven't already forgotten. But can anyone, I'm going to need you to respond, okay? There's a couple of points in the service, in what I'm talking. I'm looking at a question and I want some answers. What's currently being bombarded, what have you been bombarded by on advertising on TV? Holidays, definitely. Sales? Cars? Food, or eating more healthy and things like, well, not necessarily. I think there's some stuff that comes out thinking, really? But yeah, we are being, it's being communicated that we should be on a holiday. Think about your holiday. Where are you going in the summer? What are you up to? Should you be eating more healthy? So we do all of these different things are being advised. We are being bombarded. It's being communicated to us, not just through the TV, is it? It's being advertised. We get these messages. I don't know if you find this when you're on social media. All of a sudden, all the adverts, amazingly, tend to hit on whatever you've been thinking about. These algorithms are very clever. You search something, and the next thing you know, hang on a minute, how does it know that I've been, and it's there. Yes, you want to go to Mauritius. Here's a really good cost price, lovely people's photographs. Oh, we had a lovely time in, and it's just bombarding. As most of us are aware, I hope you're aware, we've got a dog. She's called Fern, and tomorrow she'll be 5. I know, well. When she was a puppy, we carried out some training. One of the things we trained her to do was that if she needed to go out, she would go to the back door and sort of sit and look. Actually, she'd already been trained this. Actually, we just encouraged that because our breeder that we got it from was very good. So she could indicate that she wanted to go out. We would then let her out and then she could go off and then she'd come back. This is one way that she communicates. In case you didn't know, dogs don't talk. Not with words anyway. They bark and they will bark and they will bark, which is really frustrating in an evening when I'm trying to, what do you want? I've fed you. What do you need? And it's probably just because, I know if I bark, I've trained you, in terms of me and Sharon, to get me food because you just get fed up, so you just give me something else. So if I bark, I'm going to get another treat. I'm going to get another chew. This works well for me. So actually, she actually can communicate with us. I don't know what it's like in your home, but sometimes it is remarked that I don't hear well. You see, occasionally, maybe Sharon or Esther will say or ask me something, and either I don't respond or I don't do what is asked. Some of the reason is because I'm in the kitchen slaving away with the music on, and they're upstairs. I can't hear if they're upstairs. So Esther texts when she's upstairs, I'll have this. Oh, okay, I'll be with you in a minute, madam. It's like being the butler, isn't it? It's like, I'd like a cup of tea and a slice of toast. But, you know, so sometimes I don't hear. And I know that I don't hear sometimes. Sharon keeps on about me getting me hearing tested, don't you? But I don't need to, I'm fine. And maybe that's your experience at home too. You've had that sort of experience. Or maybe we had one time, we got friends, and the wife asked the husband to go and collect some crackers. Now, he interpreted it to be crackers in terms of cheese and biscuit crackers. And she wanted Christmas crackers because they were having people around. And he thought, oh, well, we want people, so we probably want quite. So he turned back home with boxes of Christmas, a lot of Jacob's crackers. And so he goes, why have you bought them? I wanted those. I want crackers that you pull. You know, and it's very easy, isn't it, to sometimes miss what's being communicated. What's being communicated. I should have moved on, actually. There. Perhaps you have your own stories of when things have gone wrong. This morning, as we think about God being the great communicator, we can consider that God communicates. Okay? That God does communicate, and therefore, if he's communicating, we being the ones communicated to need to work on listening or being aware that he's communicating, because God doesn't just speak to us. So it's more than just listening. From the very beginning, God communicated. He did so through language, for in Genesis we read that God spoke things into being. He spoke light, seas, land, lights, the sky, sun, moon, stars, fish, birds, animals, men, women. He spoke. He communicated. We also see in Genesis 1:26 that he says, let us. Make man in our own image. He communicated with himself as God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. But let's note that we too are created, therefore, to communicate. For we are made in his likeness. We, like him, desire to communicate. Some of us more than others. As we consider God being the great communicator, we need to recognize that God seeks to communicate to us all. As we see in, as I mentioned, Hebrews 1, it's actually verses 1 and 2, we discover that God spoke to the forefathers of the Jewish nation through the prophets at various times and in various ways. And then the author goes on to say in verse 2, that in these last days, God speaks through his Son. God is the original communicator. He continues to communicate. Some people regard God as a distant, uninterested deity. He began the process. He sort of said, click, we put it into being. Off you go. See you later. For some people, that is their image of God. And that is, for them, supported in some ways by what's going on in our world. The fact that there are wildfires currently in America. There's been, again, wars going on. If God was interested in what's happening in his creation, he would step in and act on these and other situations. These sorts of things add to the argument given to some when considering Christianity. If there is a God, why does he allow suffering? But if we look in Scripture, we see that he is continually communicating. He is concerned. He is concerned about what is happening in his creation. I was listening to our reading that Geraldine gave with the reading when Samuel is, oh, someone's speaking to me. Must be like, I'm going to go. And it just made, as she was being read, I suddenly thought, oh, how great. You know, that Samuel, he didn't think, he just heard somebody speak. And that just spoke to me. Actually, we need to remember that God will speak to children. And they don't even need to be taught that he's going to. Because he didn't even know God. You know, it sort of says, well, he hadn't even been told. God spoke to Samuel. It was the responsibility in the end of the adult to say, oh, hang on a second. God's communicating. You need to do this. And I think, you know, we've got children in our church. We've got young people. We've got adults. And maybe some of us as adults, in some ways, haven't matured. And we are like children. And I want to say to you, perhaps God does speak to you. And you just need to go, oh, yes, your servant is listening. Because sometimes we don't recognize. We don't know. If we look at the Samuel reading, we see that God communicates audibly, but it took the awareness of someone else to enable Samuel to recognize it was God. And this could be the same for us. It may be that God is communicating, but we just don't recognize it. It's him. And need the support of others to help us hear God. Obviously, in the case of Samuel, it was an audible communication. And this can be still true today. God does audibly speak to people. Perhaps some of us have heard God audibly speak. And that's amazing. What a privilege. Or it may be that in reading God's word, that's the Bible, we may find God speak to us through the revelation of Scripture. As we read a particular passage, we find it is a very relevant for a time we are in. And God, therefore, speaks into what's happening at the time. What an amazing thing that our God communicates with insignificant me, insignificant you. Oh, there. In considering the Acts reading we had read, we see God communicates through dreams, visions, pictures. And there are other scriptures, isn't it, where God says he will, old men will dream dreams and young men will, you know, or the other way around. So young people and young men and old men will have visions. And you know, we're told that God will communicate. At the moment, God got Peter's attention through a trance. God communicates to Peter in a visual way to enable Peter to do what God was about to call him to do. It took the good news of the gospel to Cornelius, his wider family and friends. Just think that, you know, it's very challenging, isn't it, though? Because here's a picture of a blanket coming down with loads of four-legged and reptiles and stuff. Oh, you can't eat that. We've been told we're not allowed, you know, I'm God. Which is like David was when he was praying. This, we need to hear from what is God. And it may not be comfortable. Peter must have thought, oh, crumbs, really? I would have done that. I would have been, really? Oh, I've been from a very young age. That's not right. But God said, no. You need to go. And then following that, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, was just still thinking about it, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So Peter spoken not only through a vision, through a picture, but through the Spirit as well. God spoke to him through the Spirit. From the passage shared this morning, we see that God communicates on various levels and in so many ways. And there are many more points in the Scripture you can see how God speaks in a whisper. In a whisper. I would love to have that because I'm a noisy person. To have that gentle touch of God in a whisper. As we consider God as a great communicator, I want to suggest that for us, the ultimate example comes in the form of Jesus. For it is through Jesus that God communicates his ultimate desire. Can anyone offer a suggestion as to what that might be? Any ideas? Chris?
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again because I think it's worth saying, God desires that we join in the conversation.
Okay. Thanks. Well, there are many suggestions. I want to suggest that God communicates his ultimate desire through Jesus, and I believe that's restoration. God's desire is that all of creation is restored into a right relationship with him. He began the story in a relationship. Be with me, walk with me in the garden. And then we went wrong. And so he's looking for restoration. And he does that through Jesus Christ. Jesus comes. He's born at Christmas. He walks, he lives. And then he gives himself. If anybody here this morning does not yet know Jesus, Jesus came for you. He came to restore you into a relationship with your God. Because he is the one who brings all things into being. So I believe God communicates through the very act of his son's sacrifice. God communicates his love for us through that. If we consider what I've shared this morning, we recognize that as a great communicator, God may at times speak to certain individuals. He may speak to a group of people. We could even say that he seeks to communicate with the world. All at the same time. Yes, Lord. Though our focus is on the communicating God, I want to touch, as I said at the very beginning, that there needs to be something else. Making us aware that we need to be aware of what's being happened. Oh, there we are. Now, I've got a friend. You might be surprised to know that. And he and his family, they love the beach. We used to live in the New Forest, which is a beach 2 minutes away from where we lived. And then in Cornwall, this family would go on holiday there. We've been with them. And he has a method of communication with his family on the beach, because the beach is quite a big place, and he's got five children, but varying ages now, and he had a few simple commands to enable to communicate with his family, but these weren't verbal, because when you're on the beach, and if it's a bit windy, you could look at that picture, the sea's like that way, and they were up by these rocks. And I've got a big voice, and he has a fairly big voice, you're not going to hear. So they had non-verbal communication. And that was, he would either stand and do that and make sure, is everything okay? Is that not so good? And then this, that meant come to me. So he developed 3 or 4 things, because then he thought, if his kids, they saw that, they'd come to him. But also, if he saw his kids doing that, he'd go to them. So that was his way of communicating, which was really good. Really, a really simple way. And the only issue was that you've got to be looking at him. Really. So it is good and it does work, but there is that slight flaw in that the children need to be facing him. But you would hope, obviously, they might not get it straight away, but they'll at a point, oh, and they glimpse, or they would, one of their siblings would see, and the next thing is, oh, hang on, where have they gone? Oh yeah, right, this is what we should be going back. But that was it. It needed the children to be looking in his direction. It's a similar way, even though God is a great communicator, because he is, even though he's a great communicator, for us to hear him, we need to take the responsibility to make ourselves available to hear from God. This may mean taking time to be quiet and listening, or just having some people around you that you can say, oh, what do you think? So our takeaway this morning. I want to say that perhaps you may not be sure if what you are hearing is from God. Especially if it's new to you. If this is something, God's not spoken to me before. He probably has, you just haven't realized it. Whatever stage you are at with regards to listening out for God, I want to encourage you, if you feel God is communicating with you, then note it down and pass it on. If you believe God is offering you something, I want to suggest you go to people you trust. Other believers that you trust. And together, test it. Because again, in Scripture, it talks about if you hear something, you test it. And this is certainly the practice that Sharon and I at times have adopted. When we believed God was saying something to us, we wanted to check we were discerning correctly. So we had a few people at different points where we would say, can we just talk about this? We think this. What do you feel? Or what do you think? And these people weren't necessarily people who would say, oh, whatever you say, we believe. They were willing to say, well, actually, maybe, but it could be this. Oh, okay. And it's the same in our church. We hold to the Bible, what the Bible says, and if someone offers a word, a prophecy, a picture, it's then brought to the elders and then to the wider leadership for discernment. Even if it's shared just from the front, we will then take that away and go, well, actually, what is God saying? Is that right? So as we spend this month seeking God's direction, we can rest assured that if we make ourselves available, which is what we're trying to be, we're saying, God, we'll give up, we're looking to be available, we're coming together, he will communicate with us. He will communicate with us. He will communicate with us. Do you understand that? I truly believe he will. I was blessed by the numbers who came this week across our times. I really was. Some who came shared out loud and others shared in their hearts. And we know God was listening to everything because God does. If you come and perhaps you feel God is saying something to you and it's never happened before, as I say, I would ask you to share it no matter what you think it is, no matter how confident you are, about it, share it. Because whenever you're trying to do something new, you have to develop, you have to keep trying, don't you? When you first walk, you don't take a first step and fall over and think, well, that's it, I'm never walking again, do you? You have to get up and try again. You ride a bike, you start with stabilizers, and then you move off stabilizers onto the thing. Even if you move off from stabilizers to, you may have to try several times. So I would love it if people say, I think this is what God said. I think. I've got the word banana. And I think it might, but I don't know. Because it could be. It could be that actually the leadership are thinking, we've got this. There's, and it happens. So it could be something really, yeah, so please be obedient to God. And once you've been obedient to God, it's that you've sort of said, well, I've done my part. I've listened to you, the communicating God, and I've shared that with people who are, you know, in responsibility, spiritual responsibility for the church, and I've then passed that on. And it's then the responsibility that you and they have, Lord, to resolve that. So alongside our times of corporate gathering, we also in our daily lives can give space in the noise of the day to be still and listen. Hear what God may be saying to us as an individual. Because God is not just speaking about the church, he's speaking about your life. And he might be saying, you need to work on that. You need to work on that. Gossiping or whatever it might be, pornography, you need to work on that. That's not honouring. It's not wholesome. Let's work on that. And as I said right at the beginning of the service, just as a young people, we are going to now take some time. We're going to spend 3 minutes or so and just be still. Because our God does communicate. He may have communicated through what I've been saying. I hope he has. I really hope he has, because I've laid this before God. And it may be just one word that resonates. Whatever it might be, I trust he communicates. So let's take some time now to be still and be quiet. You may want to just have your hands open with your palms open upright. And perhaps just say, I'm available, Lord. Speak to me. Let's just pray, and then Lord, you are a God who does communicate, and we are a people, your people, and I pray you would help us, encourage us to open our hearts and ears to you and to be obedient to what you say. Just as your son was, just as Peter was, just as Samuel was, just as many people have been and will be. Help us, Lord. Amen.